All right, so now let's make it 6:32. We'll call the meeting to order. We're going to stand for the pledge. If you have a flag in your house, please face it. So, pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We'll do roll call. John Quark
here.
Sammy Pilastro
here.
Earl Robinson
present.
All right, and then Jeffrey Bell and Ray Bowers. Those are alternates.
Here,
see what's on here. We need one of you to be a voting member. And the other one would just be an alternate. Any preference?
Nope.
Jeff, you're muted.
Jeff can, if Jeff's all right with it, I'm fine with him being the voting member. It's up to him.
Jeff, you have to unmute it so you can answer, please.
Jeff, hit your space bar.
He got it. Yeah, Jeff, you're going to be a voting member. Ray's going to just be an alternate in case we need him.
Okay.
Okay, you good with that?
Yep.
All right. Okay,
I'm trying to get used to the Zoom thing.
All right. Try to, if you aim it a little higher, we'll see the top of your eyes. Okay. Hey, that's better. I fuzz out the background so you can't see the mess. All right, public portion. Anybody from the public want to speak? And if you do, state your name and address for the record, please. All right. Anybody from the public wish to speak? I'll do one more time.
Excuse me, is this the time to speak on specific applications?
No, I was going to say, there's going to be a public portion for the specific applications once the applicant presents it.
Okay.
This is just for other issues that you may have that the Zoning Board of Appeals would need to hear. And then I'll do one more time for the public portion. Here, nobody, let's close it. Let's go to the applicant North 40 Holdings. 23-25 North Avenue and North Avenue Derby. Appealing section 195-17A-E-4, zoning regulation for proposed addition to the restaurant for bathroom storage and an outdoor patio. Applicant, ready to go?
Yes, Attorney Dominic Thomas representing the applicant in this case. For the record, I will note that I have filed electronically the required notices, the radius maps, and other things to comply with the notice requirements in the zoning regulations concerning ZBA variance hearings. The purpose of this application, as it's stated, is to vary 195-17A-E-4. A little bit of background on this. This property is the Dew Drop-In property. When I was approached work to get them the outdoor patio in the area, it was determined that the property had remained in the park zone or P zone, which covered the cemetery, the Oak Cliff Cemetery above it, and had not been changed to the MDD, Mill Design District Zone, when the changes were made, I think a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So we filed a text amendment to include this property in the Mill Design District Zone, especially since its use was obviously not a public use in the P zone. Its use was a commercial. They do drop in the in more attuned to what the uses are in the Mill Design District Zone. So about that time then, we began the process of designing and developing the addition and the patio. And Mr. Carlucci, who is the owner, made a decision to reduce the impact of the site work by shrinking a bit what he had originally proposed. But even with that, we were confronted with a somewhat unusual setback requirement. The setback requirement in the section that we're talking about says, as I cited in the application, 20 feet or the average of the two abutting properties. So at this time, if Mark, can I share a screen? And Mark?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Let me get to the right thing that I need to get to. Okay. So on your screen, you see the site plan application that we have filed. This is the site plan. I also included the elevations.
Dominic?
Yes?
We only see your Windows screen. We don't see the PDF. So you're going to have to unshare your screen.
Stop share?
Stop share, and then reestablish the share screen, and then click on the PDF.
Is it there?
It's still the Windows screen.
Hmm. Double click on the document that you want to open up, that crop one. You need to double click on it, Dominic.
I double clicked on it, and that's what's on my screen.
Do you see it, Dominic?
I can see it.
Okay, so go down on the bottom. You should have an icon on the bottom of your screen that has the Adobe icon. Click on that.
Yeah, I was doing it from a flash drive where I had it saved in a flash drive. I've done it before.
Yeah. That's okay. It just must be opening in a different screen. A different window. So you need to click on the bottom where it opened up.
I'm in that screen. I don't know what else to.
Would you like me, Dominic, to open the site plan?
It might be easier. If you can open it.
Why don't you unshare or stop share?
Okay.
Please? Okay, I'll give this a shot. Is this the plan you were referring to, Dominic?
It's not the one I submitted. No, it's not. It's the one that I filed with the, no, this is not. These are the old ones. These are the old ones, not the one I submitted with the ZBA. That's the prior one. Let me try it again. Still didn't come up?
Yeah, then we got something.
Can you see a site plan?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, this one time it worked, whatever. All right. Well, this is the site plan showing the entire property. And one of the reasons why we're filing this is the unusual nature of actually the regulation. So I told you the regulation says 20 feet or the average of the two adjacent buildings. So in order to get a correct interpretation upon the filing of the special exception application, the matter was put on the agenda for the Planning and Zoning Commission to render an interpretation of the regulation. My point being, we were just putting an addition on the property. Therefore, the fact that the existing building, which is the adjacent building to that, is 2.8 feet, That is one interpretation we took on it, but it says the two adjacent buildings. So 500 or so feet away is a house up North Avenue. If you looked at that house and if it meets the requirement, which it may, of 25 foot setback, it would put the setback at about 13 feet. If, however, it may be only 20 feet setback, that would put it about 11 feet. So the problem is that really the regulation was written for all those properties that are along Route 34, Roosevelt Drive. And so this one, we had the unusual situation. The commission ruled that that's what it says. So you really got to go to this building up here too, along with this building. They considered the existing building as an adjacent building, even though it's an addition. So while this screen is up, I want to show you the, and certainly when you're applying for a variance, you've got to show that your property is unique to the area. And there's no doubt, and I'm sure you're familiar with the area, that this property is extremely unique with respect to size and with respect to topography. It is extremely long, 550 feet, 55 feet on this side, 80 some odd feet on this side, with a topography being extremely seriously graded up topography going up towards the cemetery. So certainly I think it meets those standards. Then what I've done is I've blown it up as part of the application to show you what the numbers are. The existing building is 2.8 feet from the road. The proposed patio and addition is 5 feet from the road. The thing I've circled here is the approximate bottom of the ledge through here. And then the ledge goes up. There's a fence here, as it says on here, and then it goes up towards the boundary with the cemetery. So that is what you're facing. Now, the your regulations indicate, besides that, you have a set of standards in 179, and it talks about providing reasonable consideration for, among other things, the character of the neighborhood or district, the conservation of property values, the proportion of which it, the property values, the proportion of which has the direction of the building development in accordance with any plan or development, and the portion thereof which was then adopted by the commission. Well, the commission has chosen to adopt this and put it in the MDD zone, put the application and create an effort to establish a setback that really doesn't fit this property when it talks about two adjacent properties. If it was just the adjacent property, no closer than the adjacent property would have no problem. But since they said two, we are before this commission with this unique piece of property. So as you can see, and looking at this now two-dimensionally on a site plan, you can see the issues, you can see the numbers. Now, hopefully this is going to work, but we'll see. Okay, are you able to see the photograph that just popped up? Okay. So what I've done is I've shown you, I've taken three Google Street View pictures, even though you're probably familiar with the site. So I've taken three Google Street View pictures. The location of the proposed additions and the patio are going to be in this area where there is some existing parking. And what I want to point out to you as you're looking at these, at the second and third pictures especially, is you can see that there's, over here, the cliff is down closer to the road and it bends back. And you can also see here that it is more sloped and where it, there is more a ledge back up. So it gets sloped back up. So one of the reasons why we're doing this is in making the in the two previous hearings that have been held before the Planning and Zoning Commission, the neighborhood expressed an intent to reduce the amount of blasting. Now, I will tell you right away that the person that is most concerned that any blasting that needs to be done, and of course, all efforts are always done first with mechanical means, but the building that is most concerned about the blasting is the applicant's building itself, because the blasting to do it would take it back. So is it possible for the applicant to blast farther back and therefore try to comply with the averaging that the regulation has? It might be possible, but it would increase the amount of blasting. Therefore, the effort that's made is not only an effort to address the unique hardship because of the size of the property and the topography of the property, but to comply with the desires of the neighborhood that there be as little blasting as possible. So as a result, and as you can see from the from this, we are not going to go into it as much as possible. You're going to have it sort of even, as you saw from the site plan. You're going to stick a little bit back the additions where there is storage. In this area, there is storage, and this is a bathroom for the to improve the bathroom facilities for the dew drop in. And these are two little storage areas. So that portion of the building sticks just a little bit beyond the back of the building, a couple of feet, 3-4 feet beyond the back of the building. And then the patio itself stretches out and is actually not as far, even though there will be some excavation, as you can see from the approximate bottom of the ledge, remembering that the ledge slopes up. So we believe that that is protects the neighborhood. We believe that clearly the property is unique. There's no other in this area. There's nothing that is similar to this in shape. There is nothing that is impacted to this in shape. As a matter of fact, when you go all the way up here, then you have all the houses that are up here. They are able to comply with zoning. Across the street, you have level properties, one of which, the one on the corner of North and Park, is right on the property, right on the street line, not even a setback at all. This one, of course, is Apollo Pizza, which faces Roosevelt Drive. So we believe the request for the variance, there is a hardship. There is a hardship because of the size of the property. With respect to the impact in the neighborhood, we are attempting to reduce the impact on the impact on the neighborhood because we are reducing the blasting. With respect to the use is similar to what is there already. As you all are aware, it's the dew drop in. All it is to provide a few more tables for outdoor dining, which has become really a necessary element of restaurant businesses, as we have learned in the pandemic. What is surrounding in the area? We have a restaurant across the street for the neighborhood. We have some light industrial. We have some old industrial buildings that they're trying to renovate. And these uses are more in compliance with the MDD zone than many of the uses up and down the existing uses in the MDD zone now. So that basically, I'm here to answer any questions, as is my client. And if you want, I can leave or bring up the plans as you need. Oh, and one more thing, I suppose. I will show you, I skipped over it. This is more of a layout. As you can see, there's only a few tables. These other tables are not part of the thing. These are going to be in the existing paving or parking. And when you saw the end of the parking, you can see the pavement it sticks beyond here. So this is not even going to the end of the existing pavement. It's been pushed down here to do that. And what it looks like in elevations, just to give you an idea, so you have an idea what it looks like in elevations. This is the area that's going to be the unroofed area, and these are the views from the sides of the building and what it's going to look like with respect to the excavation. And you can see the existing line and what would require to be excavated out. So I'm here to answer any questions.
The addition, it's a one-story addition?
Is that
correct? Where the storage rooms are and the bathroom and the liquor storage and all that, that's all one correct. Story?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All one story.
All right. And then where's the parking going to be then? Or is there not a parking?
There's an abundance of parking. The Dewdrop Inn, the owner, purchased many years ago, and he's been using it, the parking lot that was used by Hull Dye and Derby Cellular. It's at the corner of, let me go back here then I'll. Okay, here's the parking lot's over here. It's a very large parking lot that was used.
I know.
Part of the plan that is not for you to decide because it's not ZBA, but in the planning and zoning design, do you see this here going across? That's a proposed sidewalk, which has to be approved by the Board of Aldermen, a proposed sidewalk. Right now, the people park up here and they walk down North Avenue to the Dewdrop Inn. There's a little bit of parking here, but during the pandemic, that's been taken up with outdoor tables under the approval. So there's a sidewalk proposed to go all the way up to here, a crosswalk, and this is the parking, which would be enough parking probably, well, maybe not quite if we had Jimmy Buffett there, but you know what I mean? There's an abundance of parking.
All right, it's just unusual that's not on the property. I didn't know that it was changed.
It's owned by the same entity. Not the same entity, a related entity.
Could it be sold separately?
Could it be sold separately? It could be, but the problem is that once we go to the special exception application, it's going to be tied to the approval of the special exception application because it's part of our application. You are certainly free as a commission in imposing conditions on any variance to require that the parking remain with the as part of the variance approval.
If I could jump in on that just to provide some clarity.
Clarify, please.
That if this variance gets approved and they continue to planning and zoning, and planning and zoning approves a special exception, one of the conditions that will be required by the applicant would be to have a lease agreement between the properties for the life of the continued use of the restaurant. So I think there'll be sufficient cover through the Planning and Zoning Commission application process if it gets approved.
That's all, because right now you have temporary structures out there, the tents and the tables and stuff, but this would be more permanent. That's why I was just asking.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have any other questions?
Is it allowable for a question to be asked by a member of the public, or is this only for the board?
It's been over a year. I can't remember. I would think you have in the public portion, and then if they want to respond, we'll give them a chance to do that. This is right now, we're going to have the board do it.
Okay, thank you.
And then we'll let you jump right back in.
All right.
Anybody else on the board have a question?
I don't see, maybe you could just point it out to me, the dimension on the back of the addition to the rear property line. What's that number? The rear property line and the proposed addition. What's the difference there in the, I don't see that. If you could blow it up and maybe point it out to me.
Okay, it's hard to see. I don't know. It doesn't appear.
It doesn't.
I'm looking at the plan. I'm trying to blow it up. You mean from the, you're talking about here from the back of this building?
From the proposed addition to the rear property line, what's the difference? Because, you know, if he blasts and he puts it in there and it's, he doesn't have the setback, then I could say he's landlocked and I'm more apt to say, okay, give him the variance for the front. But if he can blast and he's already blasting and he can blast and he can conform to the back, there's no hardship. He can go back. He can go backwards is what I'm saying. If, but I don't know the dimension of the proposed to what's the difference from the proposed addition to the rear property line, because then would he be conforming? And that's the crux of
under the dimensional standards, and Ryan can correct me. I don't, the rear yard is 20 feet. Maximum rear yard is 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he complies with that, but you're talking about if you pushed it back, you're talking about substantially more blasting.
And then potentially being within that 20 feet, that's what Sammy's asking.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
if he were to conform with the front, with the front setbacks, what is it in the back? Because if he is not conforming, then I'll be like, okay. Because now you're landlocked. Now that's a true hardship.
I would only be estimating. I think that when you look at this line and you compare it to some of the other measurements, and let me go to the other.
We have the architect here?
No, the architect is not here. He's not available. I'm looking at the other, but when you look at the 5 foot measurement here, and you look at the amount here, it's probably, it appears to me, and I would defer to Ryan at the closest
point
to be approximately 30 feet in that neighborhood, 25 to 30 feet existing right now. So you're getting close to the 20 foot requirement.
I'm actually, Mr. Chairman, I'm checking into it right now, doing a measurement off the PDF to get an approximate distance. So just bear with me.
So, okay, so while you're working on that, I'll just ask my questions just to, in interest of moving this along. Have we contacted Public Works? My concern is being that close snow, having the temporary tents out there, you know, during the COVID is one thing, but to have a permanent structure and then having the street commission coming in and weighing in on if this would have any kind of an effect on the police, as far as, well, we addressed the parking, that you have ample parking in the back. With this, aren't you, we're increasing the occupancy that he can have. So I don't know what that number would be increased to. So if you're like literally doubling the amount that you can now hold, does the parking in the back handle that? You're saying that there's ample parking. There's ample parking for the occupancy that he can currently have, COVID or not. What I'm asking is, now that we're increasing this, does he still have the ample parking? I don't want a repeat of the Hops Company.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a disaster over there.
There's enough parking. There's enough parking in the back.
How many?
For them to make this building four times the size of it. It was parking for Hull Dye and Derby Cellular employees. It's a 1 acre, I think, Ryan, you correct me, isn't it like 1 acre or almost an acre parking lot?
I'm not sure about that, but I think Sam, to answer your question, that's probably a question more geared towards the planning and zoning application in terms of demonstrating adequacy of parking for the addition. That is not something that the applicants addressed yet at this point. I think we're waiting to see the result of this variance application, but certainly the parking demand for the addition versus what is specifically available is something that is under the purview of the P&Z commission. And also just to follow up on your previous question, I did do a quick measurement, the PDF measurement tool, and it's 1.21 inches from the back corner of the addition to the rear line. And that translates in a 1 to 20 scale of 24 feet. So if they had to take what you see in your plan and shift it back some 8 to 10 feet to comply with the front setback, they would be in the rear setback.
Thank you.
Well, they would be conforming if they were to move it back.
No, they would not be conforming. Not, with,
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. You cut out a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They would not be conforming with respect to rear setback if the footprint you see on this plan were simply shifted back to accommodate the front setback requirements.
And to answer the question on the tables, you can see the proposal here. There is three tables of that could seat, you know, four or five, whatever, maybe six people. And there are three high top tables. And then there is the ability on the open area to put a couple of more tables. I don't know if you've ever been in, but it's not exactly. In fact, one of the reasons that the owner expressed the fact that he wanted to shrink the size from the original proposal that was being discussed with him and the architect was that he doesn't have sufficient staff or size of kitchen to service much more than something like this for the outdoor patio. And as far as the the other issues on this proposal that I've blown up, you can see the edge of the concrete curb. The road is out here, so there's been, you know, there's some area plus the fact that we will be discussing with the Board of Aldermen, the Planning and Zoning, the installation of a sidewalk along there.
So you still have to go in, if this is approved, you still have to go in front of Planning and Zoning.
Absolutely, yes.
Again, to clarify, from the Planning and Zoning Commission's perspective, there is a pending application for a special exception for the outdoor seating is a special exception use in the MDD zone. So there is a public hearing scheduled for that for next week. Obviously, if this variance is not approved, then they'll have to rethink their plan to some degree or another.
Is this addition totally, partially, completely, or otherwise on the building property or on the next lot?
I don't understand. It's on the property owned by North 40.
Now, I mean, I can't hear a thing.
Okay, it's on the property owned by the applicant, North 40 Holdings. The property owned by, that is known as 23, can you hear me now?
Barely, it's cutting in and out. I it's choppy here on my end.
It is all on the property of North 40 Holdings.
So this one where it says second piece, third piece, first, right. This is all combined now?
Right, yeah. The property is a single, it's comprised of, if you go back in the land records, it's comprised of five different parcels.
Okay, I think that's what Sammy was looking for. Yeah, I don't know if he hears or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any word from Public Works and or the police as far as, has anybody reached out to Public Works as far as just being the setback being as close to the road as far as care for the roads or snow plowing? Or?
No. I mean, partially because the building is only 2.8 feet. The building's right there. And they've been able to manage their plowing with the building that close too.
Attorney Thomas, can you go back to the pictures you had from the Google? I just want to see, because that curb bends there. It looks like it's only about 3 feet from the building at the one corner there. And this would actually be.
Can you see them now?
There's one. Let's try the other one that shows the front of the one more. That. Yeah. So right now where that catch basin, that storm sewer is, that's the closest. And the building you're talking about adding on is going to be back another 2 feet, 4 inches from that.
Correct.
Okay. Sam, can you see that all right?
Yeah, yeah. Those were only my questions. I was just, you know, I just wrote these things down as I was.
That's fine.
Just to get some answers, you know.
I just wanted to get a visual how close the plow is coming now, and then where it's going to be later. Right.
So what I'm saying is,
you're already right up on it.
Right. You plow straight, and then you push it right because you're not going to push it right in front of their building. But then you're pushing it another however many feet beyond the deck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just worried. Yeah. When it becomes a permanent structure, it's just a little bit different. I understand that they were using it as a temporary thing, but I'm sure once the weather got in the winter, you know, the structure's not up. So what was not an issue with temporary outdoor seating, I was just a little, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure planning and zoning will be taking that into account as we go forward.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? Yeah, I'd say we can open up for the public portion if people have questions.
Anybody from our board, John, Earl,
Jeffrey? I'm just concerned about the cutting into the hill. How stable is that hill to cut into? I mean,
there would have to be appropriate. It's a ledge. It's rock ledge. That's why we've determined that most likely it's going to be blasting. So it's ledge that's back there. So it's going to be quite stable. And they've done, they've had both a blaster and a site work person take a look at it. But obviously, he's very concerned about it because this is his building right here. So, when you look at it again, it does slope back a little bit like that. The effort here by pulling it farther front is to reduce the amount of blasting or site work. And obviously we have to comply with whatever requirements there are from your city engineer as we go forward for any borings or anything like that that would be required before construction starts.
Okay. Thank you.
Earl, you have anything?
Not at all, Rich. Basically, from what you had stated and from what Sam has been brought up, it pretty much answered what I had to say. And of course, basically, we just have to approve this application, and the rest would have to go forwards to the zoning board, and then from there they'll make the other decisions or factors as far as designing it, parking spaces, and everything else. So I'm pretty satisfied with some of the answers that I've got so far. So
okay,
hope you got that right, Rich.
Yeah.
Okay, then perfect. Thank you.
I got it, Jeffrey.
Yeah, that was one of my concern was just the blasting.
Okay.
If I could jump in just real quick on blasting, that is something that blasting obviously is something that would be considered during planning and zoning, but ultimately it's a reviewed by the fire marshal. They have the jurisdiction under state regulations to review a blasting plan, and if they deem necessary, require pre-blast surveys for adjacent structures. So that is something that is within the fire marshal's jurisdiction.
You have a handicap line there? A handicap ramp, rather, on this drawing? Can you go back to the drawing?
Okay.
I don't know if it's not shown too clearly. But it runs along the face of the addition right on the front line, right?
I don't have the let me just look here. Yes, here's the ramp. The ramp.
This ramp up, I can't.
Okay. Here's the ramp up.
Now I can see it. Yeah.
Okay. That you enter into it over here.
So it's 3 feet wide. and we're 5 feet from the road. So now we're 2 feet from the road, right? With that ramp.
The ramp, wait a minute, here's the fight. Yeah, here's the 5 feet and the ramp comes out. Yeah, right.
So now we're only 2 feet off for the road.
I gotta, let me move this to the, no, wrong way. Yeah, the ramp, I mean, again, I think it's part of it, the way the property line goes, but as you can see, the ramp is about even with, it's less than the corner of the building that's 2.8.
No, the ramp is 5 feet wide, rather, right?
No, I don't believe it. It may be, I mean, there's a 3 foot measurement there. I don't know. There may be, there's a ramp to take people up. Yes, there's a stairway here and a ramp here. The ramp is not required. What I understand, the ramp is not part of the setback, correct, Ryan?
That is something I'd say I agree with in principle. We haven't obviously looked at in detail yet, but the setback that we're looking to apply for this particular portion of the site plan is with respect to the covered porch, okay? Because there is no setback requirement for outdoor seating or outdoor patios, provided they are not elevated more than 30 inches above grade. If they are relatively flush with grade, they can be within the front setback.
So, I mean, in other words, if you had a, under the regulation, if you had a elevated patio that was 2 feet high and had no permanent roof on it, you could go right up to the property line.
That is correct. They're looking to cover the patio and portions of it, and they're looking to have the building addition closer to the existing structure. So those are the elements where the setback would apply. Again, for the covered patio and the building addition itself.
Okay.
Clear as mud, right?
Yeah. And then, Ryan, I just have, all right. Well, when we're done, I'll have a question for you. All right, let's go to you all sat there, Attorney Thomas. We'll go to the public portion now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes.
All right. So let's go to number six, a public portion for this application. If anybody has any questions or comments, please let us know.
Mr. Chairman, let me just ask you, do you want me to respond at the end of the questions? Do you want me to respond to each one? What's your procedure? Does it go for you? Okay.
I say you answer if when they have it. That way, okay. If they have to change the pictures, we aren't jumping back and forth. So.
Okay, fine.
Hello. May I go first? I'm Annie Serlin, and I'm one of the neighbors.
Can you just give us your address for the record?
Sir, 25 A Street. It's
okay. Five
blocks from the property.
All right. So,
I want to first say that the plan looks beautiful. I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful upgrade to the property. And myself and many of the other neighbors think very highly of the Dewdrop as a neighborhood business. And value a tax-paying business in Derby. I think one of the things that has been talked about a lot, and I won't belabor it, but we've talked a lot about our concerns about blasting. And so I would just weigh in to say that any solution that minimizes blasting is preferable for the neighboring properties who have come together around this subject over the course of the last several months. You may or may not be aware that there were letters and petitions signed by neighbors asking for this project to be reconsidered because of concern for blasting as well as some other issues. So any solution that minimizes blasting is preferable, item one. The second thing I want to say is if blasting is going to happen, can we please have an agreement to notify the neighbors well in advance? I have a 90-year-old mother and I have four neighbors who are over the age of 80 right in that same block. And I think we should give them several days advance notice to leave the area prior to blasting, because I'm genuinely concerned for what the shock might do to several of them. So just the sound alone, if they're not expecting it, I worry. So if we can gain notification in advance, I think their families would appreciate it. I would certainly appreciate it.
I can respond two things. Number one, certainly those type of provisions can easily be adopted, and notices can be done when they're going to do it. As I said to you before, the structure that's most concerned about the blasting is the existing building. So I'm not a blaster. I'm not the blaster, but I certainly can tell you that I will be talking to the blaster. I would venture to say that what is going to take place here is what is called line drilling. And the reason for that is the proximity to the existing building. And line drilling is where they drill small holes along the blast line or along several blast lines, put in low charges and blast it out that way to protect adjacent properties or to protect some. In this case, you're blasting right next to an existing building. And so the idea where, you know, you might expect blasting or the types of blasts that you would see in a highway or anything like that, that's not likely because you're too close to the existing building. But certainly it will be conveyed through the to the contractor what is wanted from the neighbors, and we can come up with a system, especially concerning emails, you know, with the email system now, we can come up with a system to notify the neighbors.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Attorney McCabe, may I be heard?
You certainly can.
Okay. My name is Michael McCabe, 112 Broad Street, Milford. I represent Oak Cliff Cemetery. Okay. And I would echo the support for the variance. We don't take a position on the merits of the actual proposal, but we are as well concerned about the blasting being straight up from this proposal. So anything that will reduce the amount of blasting in on site, the cemetery would support. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public?
How you doing, everybody? Jay Carlucci here, owner of the Dewdrop.
Okay.
Just a couple of words I just wanted to throw in there. Absolutely everybody in the neighborhood plan on giving notifications for any type of blasting, any type of work that will be done. So everybody is aware, it can make the proper preparations for what they choose to do. Like the young lady said before, possibly moving her mother out of the house for a couple of days or whatever's necessary. So that will be, that's already in place. It just hasn't been, you know, notified yet, obviously. Somebody had a question about the parking before. That lot, it will hold about 75 to 100 spaces when this is all said and done, which I would assume is more than sufficient to give me plenty of parking and extra for the extra people that will be coming to the Dewdrop. So that's even been planned into considerations too, because I already have many years of people parking where they didn't belong parking. So that lot will definitely hold people where they belong to hold in. I've met with a couple of my neighbors before. If anybody's listening, I'm always at the bar. Any concerns, you could come down to the bar at any time and ask any type of question that you want. I will give you any answer to anything that you have, any concerns. I met with the Piscanaries this week. Reached out to them. I had them come down to the bar, and I'm willing to do that with anybody who has any questions at any time. So don't be afraid. Just come down. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? I'm just scrolling down to see if there's anybody else. Okay. I'll ask once again, anybody else from the public? If not, we're going to close the public portion, and then
look for. Hi, my name is Nina Sonsini.
Oh, there is somebody.
My name is Nina Sansini, representing 235 Roosevelt Drive, Apollo Pizza. We just wanted to go on record as saying that we are in support of the changes that Dewdrop is putting forth, the variance as well as the change in the zoning from P to Mill District. We think that it would really significantly and positively impact the ongoing economic development of these zones within Derby. And as the progression of the projects up and along 34 and Main Street continue, this will just add, you know, just some really nice additional improvement to that corridor of Derby. So Gus and the family are very much in favor of these changes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll try again. Is there anybody else from the public that has anything to add or any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
My name is Mark Garfalo.
There you are.
95 Academy Hill Road. And also, my mother owns property on North Avenue up the way there. Two issues. The one issue is obviously your responsibility is to look at this variance and make sure that the health, safety, and welfare of the neighbors and the owner and the users of this property will be met. And I know that you'll do your job in making sure that that does happen. On a more administrative note, I see the very attentive listening ears of the planning and zoning who are here tonight, but for all of your ears, the way the regulation is that says the amount of distance away from the property, 150 feet, is in my estimation a very minimalist view of this. It's not specific to this case, but it doesn't, because it doesn't really take into account any of the neighbors. Really of the neighbors who live there. Maybe the people above represented by Mr. McCabe are kind of the quiet type of neighbor, but the others who actually live there. And so in general, I would ask that the planning and zoning consider a change to increase the length of that is required to notify the neighbors, because a lot of the neighbors who had concerns here were not even in that mailing group. So I would just encourage that change at the appropriate time. And also to remind the person who brought up about the hops company, just a friendly reminder, Mr. Thomas also represented the hops in those matters too. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Is that some reference that I do beer and wings?
Dominic, I know that you have a very sophisticated palate.
Okay. Anything else from the public? I don't see any boxes turning yellow. All right. So now I'm going to close the public portion, and then we'll have discussion and action on the application. One question I had for Ryan, possibly, is what exactly is the variance that if we approved it, we're granted? Because I can't determine what the setback is supposed to be, or if we do it, we're just going to say it can have a setback of 5 feet. Is it from 20 feet down to 5 feet? Or is it the average of 2.2 feet, 8 inches and 20 feet, divide that in half and make 11 feet, 4 inches? I don't know what the setback is supposed to be.
Well, I think the way, if approved, the approval could just simply acknowledge that the setback would be set to 5 feet. I think what Attorney Thomas brought up earlier is that the calculation for front setback based upon the regulations, if the existing building on Dewdrop is averaged with the property to the north on North Avenue, we're averaged, it's roughly 11 to 13 feet in that range. They don't exactly have the dimension from the house to the setback along North Ave and the adjacent property. But Dominic is guesstimating, and certainly I think based on the request that they would need a variance to get to 5 feet. So I think that that's how the approval of granted could be structured. So it could be something like, let me just a suggestion here. Approval could be something like, rather than an average of the adjacent structures, the front setback can be set to 5 feet.
All right. Anybody else on the board have any comments? No? All right, then. Looking for, go on to, if anybody wants to make a motion one way or another on an application, I'm interested. All right, I guess it'll be me. Make a motion that we approve the application for North 40 Holdings to make further addition to allow them a setback of 5 feet from the road. They were appealing section 195-17AE4. In addition, they would have to meet the parking requirements and the other lot conditions that the planning and zoning would approve if they were to look at it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hit the button fast enough to get the mute off to do this. Rich, would you be willing to add to that with the conditions of the pending PD approval and PDW? Get their blessing.
I don't think I would advise against that, Sam. The reason being is conditioning and approval,
so we can get it right now.
Well, no, I planning and zoning would have the authority to make that approval. They're able to get staff reports and get input from different departments, but conditioning an approval upon an approval from a staff member is a very open-ended approval motion. So I would recommend that be reserved to the planning and zoning commission jurisdiction and discussion. It's just a thought that, for example, if you had a condition that the city engineer approve it, the jurisdiction lies with the planning and zoning commission, not with city engineer.
We're going to grant a variance 5 feet from a road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just asking for a blessing from a department for the safety and well-being of the citizens and the residents that are going to be occupying that.
I'm not suggesting that's not important, but I think conditioning an approval to the approval of a staff person.
Well, if they deem it unsafe, why would I approve something that the police department says absolutely not? It's suicide. I'm not saying it is. I'm just trying to make something where the police department comes in here or the city public works says, what do you think? You know. If they give the blessing, they see nothing wrong with it. I don't see why. I'm ready to second his motion. I'm not a police officer, nor am I the public works. So I don't understand why we couldn't get that in there. We found something. They were like, are you kidding me? I mean, Tom, we have Tom DiGennaro listening in. He's a former officer over there. What if he came up and said, I don't know.
Well, I think that the jurisdiction to approve this application lies with this board, with this variance, and the jurisdiction to approve the building addition and the outdoor patio lies with the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I tend to recommend against conditioning approval to the approval of a staff person.
Want to leave it up to planning and zoning, but you don't want to leave it to the zoning board.
Right. Well, he's just saying,
you just said earlier, leave it to planning and zoning. So you want to leave it to planning and zoning, but you don't want to leave it to us.
Well, a site plan application for the actual construction of the building and the outdoor patio lies with the Planning and Zoning Commission. The request or the approval for the variance lies with this board. And I, you know, if you feel strongly, Sam, to have that as part of the approval, I mean, that's up to you, but I'm just suggesting that the conditioning any approval to a staff, for example, when this goes to planning and zoning, if they get a negative referral from the public works department or a negative referral in some manner from the police department, that's something they can certainly take into consideration as they deliberate the site plan and special exception and application. I'll just leave it at that, that I tend to request that an approval tied to a staff approval be avoided.
Sam, you got a comment to that?
No, I stand by my statement. I won't be seconding the motion.
Okay. Excuse me, Rich?
Yes.
Why can't you table it then? And then try to have the department's head then come and weigh in. And then I would feel completely safe. Because, you know, we represent the city and there's liability on us if, God forbid, something happens.
Yes, Sam, can I interject for a minute, please?
Yeah, I'm done, Earl.
Okay, Rich, I'm sorry, but as soon as you made your motion, my computer shut completely down. The whole internet system in our house shut down. Now I just got rebooted back up to you. So I might have missed, if you just give me a quick synopsis of what went on for between the next, from Sam's conversation to what it was, is that there was an approval, who second approved it, and then if you can go through it quickly. I apologize, everybody.
That's all right. I made a motion to approve their application to grant a variance to allow them to put their addition 5 feet back from the road. So their setback would be 5 feet. So then Sammy wanted to get approval from the police and public works as part of that motion. So that's where we were talking. I don't know how much you heard of that. I saw you come back on.
Okay. And then the last time I heard it, Sam, something about maybe, am I correct, Sam? You want to postpone it or delay it? Or maybe I just got bits and pieces.
Yeah, he said he wanted to table it.
I'm sorry.
That's an option. If we don't want to put it in there, I mean, I'm saying is that there is an option to be able to table it just to get their input.
I'm not saying
that this is going to be, their answer is going to be the end all be all to this application.
Now, excuse me, is Teddy here? Teddy Eswan. The reason why I'm saying that, if we table it, can they still go forward with the zoning board of hearing it?
I would suggest that they continue the public hearing till the next month. But Sam, to go back to your question, I mean, If you feel strongly about having that in the motion, I certainly, you know, that's certainly up to you. I wasn't trying to dissuade you. I was just trying to give my recommendation.
No, Rich made the motion. So.
No.
If you want to add it, Rich, if not, you know where I stand.
I don't know that it's our place to do that. You think it is, though? I don't have an issue adding it, but I don't know that we should.
If I can interject, my question is that I see both sides. If we table it, Sam, then I think Zoning Board of Appeal might, like, like Ryan mentioned, would have to wait two months, the following month, because if we table it, then we'll all have to hear it next month. And then, of course, the zoning board would have to hear it the following week or the week after. Now, if we approve this, or like Rich has mentioned it, and then with your stipulations, Sam, on the approval, if that's okay with you, or you can put your own stipulations on that, then maybe we can all go forward. So I'm not, I'm just like Rich. I'm on the seesaw. I see your point of view, and I do see Rich's point of view.
Yeah, because I like Ryan said, I look at the planning and zoning to have to do that.
Right.
We're just changing the distance is all they're looking for from us.
Because from what I understand, the Zoning Board of Appeals is going to get a special exception on this. Has to go through a special exception. Correct, Ryan?
Yes. Yeah, so Planning and Zoning Commission is currently has before it an application for special exception. And the special exception is tied to the outdoor patio use.
Right.
And also a site plan application for the building addition. So in the regulations, section 195.35, there are provisions for, reports and referrals to a series of city departments, including police, public works, street commissioner, and things of that nature.
So in other words, let me put it this way. I'm not speaking for Sam. Sam can speak for himself. But if Sam issues that has certain issues that he likes to be addressed, could he forward that to you?
Of course.
And make sure that is addressed to the, I'm not speaking for Sam. He could speak for himself on that. Would you address all of his issues or even any one of us our issues?
Well, sure, of course. And in fact, I'll read to you section 185.36, actually, just so you have it for the record. And this is a site plan application for supporting referrals. Evidence that the applicant simultaneously with or prior to submission of the application has transmitted a copy of the application together with plans and documents, if so specified, to the following public agencies as required. One, city engineer, city engineer, B, Inland Wetlands Commission, C, Conservation Commission, which they exist in Derby, D, Fire Marshal, E, Chief of Police, F, Water Pollution Control Authority, G, Street Commissioner, H, Board of Aldermen. So that can certainly be required for the applicant to provide those referrals. So it is redundant, I'd say, if Sam and this board want to require positive referrals from those entities, especially Street Commissioner and the Chief of Police. So if that gives everyone a level of comfort that's going to be incorporated in any variance, including any site plan, then feel free to add it in.
Listen, I know that the building is already close, but people are inside. Now you're going to have people outside for hours and periods of time. That's all. And being that close, when you're outside for hours, we all go there. We've all patroned the place. We're inside. Now we're outside. The congregation of people outside and being that close to the proximity. And then now the ramp brings it that much closer to the road.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Again, that regulation that was just read, it's not a requirement. It says if deemed necessary. Again, this is not relevant. Well, it is relevant to this, but I'm not speaking specifically to this, but it's like if deemed necessary. Well, by who? Years ago, that was a requirement to get the input from the police department and so forth.
So that's why I said if we wanted to add it, we could.
Well, it said if deemed necessary, but by who? I mean, it's not normally done now, so there's not a lot of input. Again, separate of this case, but that, I guess I'll bring that to planning and zoning as well as some of these things.
Section 195-77 allows ZBA to request other officials to assist, no? Am I reading that correctly?
I'm going to get another computer.
Indeed, it does. You are correct, Sam. So feel free to add that in.
Okay. Well, that's
all right. So you want to go back to where we started, Sammy?
Yeah. Just add that to the end of yours. Just say with pending. If you just add, just keep the what you said. Just say the words pending. The PD and the DPW.
Favorable.
I'll second that motion right now.
Pending favorable. What did you say, Ryan?
Favorable referrals.
All right. From the police department and public works. Okay. All right. So I'm going to start over. Make a motion that we approve the application for North 40 Holdings for section 195-17A E4 and allow them to put their proposed addition with a setback of 5 feet from the road, pending favorable referrals from the police department and public works. Is that all right, Sammy?
Yes.
All right. Then now I need a second.
Second.
All right. Now, any discussion on the motion? Earl?
I approve.
All right, so I'll take a vote in favor, and I'll just go around because it's going to be too hard to hear everybody at once. Earl?
Yes.
All right, Jeffrey?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Sammy?
Yes.
And I'm voting yes myself. So that passes 5-0. So
congratulations, Jay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, so that one's...
Guys, quick question. How much time do you want me to get this stuff to you, out to you guys, information to you guys?
Well, I think
the information will go to P&Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. Information will go to P&Z.
Yeah.
Pursuant to the variance.
Yeah. All right. So you're welcome to stay for the next one. If you have something better to do, you're welcome to do that too. So right now we're going to go on to number 8. The application, it says applicant Cody Savoy, 41 Derby Neck Road. Location of affected premises is also 41 Derby Neck Road, appealing section 195-9 E4 of the zoning regulations to reduce the front setback from 50 feet to 27.3 feet in order to allow for the conversion of a reconstruction of a portion of the existing barn to a single family dwelling unit.
Okay.
Somebody from I'm going to present for you.
Or? Yep, myself. I'm the engineer for Highland View Farms. I'm representing Jim and Shelley Savoy.
Okay.
We have submitted the necessary applications and mailings. I just want to make a correction to your previous statement that it is the property at 41 Derby Neck Road. But
oh yeah. It says 34.
Derby Assessor Map 11-8, lot 12.
Yep.
If I could share my screen, I'd like to demonstrate that we have a unique hardship. I'm not sure if I have permission to or not. Let's see. Okay.
Will it let you or not? Mark, oh, there it goes.
I think it's working. Is that, you guys able to?
Yes.
Is it still working?
Yep. Well, it says Derby Neck Road.
Okay. I think everybody's probably familiar with this section of town, the existing barn. We'd like to convert it from a barn into a barn and single-family residence for my parents to live in. You can see that we have a silo and an existing barn behind it. If we move it away from the street line, it'll interrupt the operations of those two facilities. So it is still a working farm, and we don't want to do that.
Okay.
So it's also, it's not similar to other portions in the R1 district. There are other examples of residences probably closer than the 27 feet in the section of town. So if there are any other questions, I'm happy to address those.
How big is the lot?
That
I'm looking on the map on GIS, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's a significant parcel. But like I said, we can't push it back and stay on this site without.
Are there any other buildings besides what, like in the one picture I looked at, had like a shed on each side of the barn?
And yes. Then
the barn in the middle, and there's a side.
There's a barn behind it, too.
Oh, okay.
That's, can you see my cursor? I'm going to try to highlight this for you.
Let's see.
See the red line that's drawn or no?
No.
No.
Oh, that's great.
All right, but I'm here.
Can you see this?
Silent shit.
Red line now?
No.
Sorry, I don't see it. Maybe.
I'm going to do it. Let's try this. How about now?
Oh, yeah, I see a box.
Okay, now we see it. Right.
All right, so that's an existing barn, and then you have the existing silo, right? And then the two sheds you're talking about are here and here. Apologize for the poor tracing.
No, I can see that on the, well, we got email to us, but I couldn't see that little barn there. It's really light on this as well.
Yeah, I apologize for that. We're still working on some line work issues. So if you push that facility, the proposed facility away from the road, it would block access to those, the silo and the existing barn. So we want to build the same footprint. So it's really not changing any footprints or anything like that. It's and Ryan, correct me if I say this wrong, you're
changing a use.
It's a change of use.
Right. And the reason why I directed Mr. Savoy to this board is because a change in use from on a structure that's non-conforming would not be allowed absent a variance.
Okay. All right, does anybody have any questions for Mr. Savoy or
so you want to just understand, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, we're going to take the existing barn, in other words, flatten it out, demolition it, and then you're going to put a new barn in the center, correct?
It'll be a barn and residence. One half will be barn, one half will be residence, but same footprint.
Okay, but the existing barn is going to be eliminated.
Yes.
So in other words, okay. So that's going to be wide open right in the front, parallel with the new building.
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
So. In other words, when we take the existing barn and you eliminate it, the whole front end is just going to be straight all the way across. The only part is you're going to put the new building in right in the spot where it is. In other words, the whole front yard is going to be straight. You won't see the existing barn at all. It's gone.
This barn is staying.
There's an existing barn and silo to remain that are circled in red. Those will remain.
They're going to remain.
Yeah. The proposed barn is this one here. I will try to highlight it in a different color for you.
No. I understood. No, I misunderstood you because I thought you're going to eliminate that existing barn and then, you know.
No, the new one is going to go in the center. Here.
Okay.
This is where there's a barn now, and it'll be
right.
We're going to stay in that form. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, what you're going to do is just do the center, but everything else, the sheds and the barn and existence, are all going to exist. Everything's going to exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is all on one lot, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a question. I don't think Corp Council is here today. I don't know that you can put two houses on a single lot.
I don't
know. That's a use variance, and I don't know.
I don't think there's a house on this lot now. I think it's just part of the farm. I'd have to verify that on GIS.
I don't believe Sam that there's a house on the property today.
There is no house on the property.
That's what I was asking. I didn't know if this was just a, you know, a barn next to a house. So, and you're just showing me this part here. So this is just a.
No, it's a huge lot, but it's like I didn't see anything else. I was trying to figure it out if there was a house on it, but it didn't look like it.
Not the best of my knowledge, no.
How big? Well, that doesn't make any difference. Let's say how big is the barn now, square foot, or just the two dimensions? I don't care.
I don't have that, the floor plan off the top of my head.
All right. It's just, we're looking at specifically changing the use from in a non-conforming structure from a barn to a, still a barn, but half house.
Now, Mr. Chairman, are you going to, or Mr. Cody, are you be going to the Zoning Board of Appeals after this?
I don't believe that's necessary.
Where's the Zoning Board of Appeals?
Not zoning, planning, zoning means. I know. Yeah.
I can answer that. A single family dwelling on a residential parcel is something that's reviewed administratively and does not require application to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right. It's just a.
Thank just you.
Data permit.
Well, we will be following up with the Valley Health Department and the Building Department. So they'll have the, you know, more details there.
Thank you for clarifying that.
All right. I just want to look at our variance rules here. Hang on. Moving the location from existing. I'm having a hard time with the fact that this has got to be, that this is the only place that a house can go on this piece of property without needing a variance.
Again, it's a working farm, so we want to.
Oh, so the other.
Access to that.
All right, so that land is being used for other purposes.
For cattle and agriculture.
Yeah. Okay. So for structure, this is the only location on there that we can use right now. All right. Anybody else have a question? If not, I'll open up for the public. All right. And we'll do a public portion. Anybody from the public want to have any questions or make any comments regarding this application? I can't tell if there's anybody left from the public.
Cody, can you unchair?
They are. Yep. I think I took over their mic. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It just makes it easier than scrolling. All right. Anybody else from the public? Third time. Anybody?
Mr. DeGennaro is trying to talk.
Oh, wait.
Muted, though.
He's got to unmute.
Yeah.
Does he know? It's in the bottom left corner of my screen. I don't know if it's the same everywhere.
Can you unmute him by chance? Sometimes he's not sure.
I can't. Mark, is it possible you can unmute him?
That or press the space
button. Oh, there it is.
Oh,
I found it.
I'm not savvy with this Zoom meeting. You know?
Not to worry about it.
My name is Tom DeGennaro. I live at 30 Derby Neck Road. I've lived here for 30 years. And my property abuts the property from the Savoys. And I just want to go on record that I'm 100% behind this project. And I would hope that you would grant this setback for these people. They've been outstanding. And what they've done for this property up here is just unbelievable. They've made it back into a working farm. The place has never looked better. And I know Mr. Savoy, with any project that he does, he just goes to extremes to make it more beautiful in this area. And I would just hope that your board would approve this tonight, because there's no one more deserving than Mr. Savoy. And I don't think I'll have any adverse effect regarding anything up here. And I just want to go on record as saying, and I'd be the one mostly affected by it because my property adjoins their property. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer any.
No, thanks. Anybody else from the public?
I have one quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Savoy, you're Cody, and then who's the owner? James, is that your son?
Yeah, no, James is my father, him and my mother, Shelley Savoy, they own the farm. I'm here, so I take care of this stuff.
Okay, so if we grant the variance, would it go on your name or it goes under your James name?
I'm just applying on his behalf.
Oh, yes. You're just applying. So basically, yes. We'll be under James.
Yes. Yeah, the application is in James and Shelley in the farm, Highland View Farm.
Okay.
For the farm.
And the variance would run with the property and the owners of the property.
Okay.
Yeah.
I make a motion we approve the variance.
Do I have a second for the motion?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? And then
basically, to make it more clarified for the board, that we convert it and reconstruct the existing barn to a single family home, and we grant the variance of 22.7 of section 195-9E. To reduce the front setback from 50 to 27.3, in order to allow the conversion of the home or the conversion of the barn. I would third the emotion on that.
All right, so it's.
I mean, I third approve it.
So who made the original motion?
I did, John Quark.
John Quark.
So do you amend your motion per Earl's suggestion?
I do.
And Jeff, are you seconding that amended motion?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Discussion? We have a motion. We have a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So any...
What's the hardship?
Discussion on the motion, yeah.
What's the hardship?
The hardship is it would affect other facilities on the property and reduce the agricultural capabilities of the property.
The agricultural capabilities, and what was the first part?
There's existing facilities. If you'd like, I could bring the plan back up.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please put that back up. Because what you're knocking down in a barn... And the square footage.
There's another
the gain from knocking that down and building a house somewhere else. You're gaining from there.
No, let me. Maybe it'll make a little sense. Can everybody see my screen again?
Yes.
So there's a. I'm trying to find a pen here. Yeah. So there's the silo here and the existing barn. Here, those remaining, and then the darker line, right, the dark black line with the hatch marks.
Mm-hmm.
That my cursor. I'm not sure if you can see my cursor or not.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
That's the facility that we're proposing to replace with another barn in residence. So the hardship is if I move it back, it blocks this barn, and then I don't have the access to the silo anymore, right, for grain storage and whatnot.
So it's the same footprint?
Everything will be within that footprint, yeah. They haven't, you know, finalized the actual drawings, but it'll be within that footprint. No closer to the road.
We're just replacing what's already there, isn't it? It's not pre-existing non-conforming, right?
Well,
it's
once you knock it down, then you know what I mean. Once you knock it down,
well, it's a change in use. That's right.
It's also the change in use, but
that's what it is,
right?
Because it's non-conforming based on the fact that it's only 27.3 feet back from the road. And then it's changing to a house. So, well, a house and a barn. It's still going to be partially a barn. And then just the rest is a single family. So the hardship is that they can't put it anyplace else on that lot without losing
agricultural
viability of the land. And then if he blocks the other barn and the silo, then he loses the use of those. So I'm assuming that the barn part is going to be closer to the silo than the house part, but that's just an assumption on my part.
That is what's assumed at this time on our part.
Yeah, too. That makes sense. You keep the two barns and the silo right by each other and then live on the other side. Okay. Sammy, does that address your concern?
Yep.
All right. So now we have a motion. Was a little bit modified. It was seconded, and now we had discussion. Let's take a vote. Can we Anyan share again? Thank you. We'll start with John because you're in my top left hand corner.
Yes.
All right. Jeffrey.
Yes.
Earl.
Yes.
Sammy.
Yeah.
All yep. Right. And then I'll vote yes as well. So that's their. Your application is approved too. You can let your parents know.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's it. I need a motion to adjourn from somebody.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
John jumped on it. Second?
I'll second it.
Earl. All right. All in favor? Aye.
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 All set. Thank you very much for being on here for so long.
It's nice to meet you all. It's a pleasure. Yeah, pleasure.
Nice to meet you too, Ryan.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Cody. Good night.
Good night.
Karen didn't night. Say a word. All right. Good night.
Good night. Good night,
Karen. Leave.
Oh, my gosh. Leave. There you go.
Shut it off.